It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and you are listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Main Things Considered this evening, Governor Paula Page calls for more drug enforcement funding, and we'll talk to an archaeologist whose field site is the moon. We'll have those stories in your main newscast just ahead, but first, national and world news from NPR. This is Main Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. For the third time this year, a Maine Republican legislator has drawn criticism for Facebook posts attacking political rivals on their religious choices. In a post yesterday, Republican Representative Lawrence Lockman of Amherst describes Lewiston mayoral candidate Ben Chin as a, quote, anti-Christian bigot. Now Democratic House Speaker Mark Eaves is demanding that Lockman apologize and resign his seat and has joined other Democrats in calling for Republican leaders to condemn what he characterizes as hate speech. A.J. Higgins has details.
The Lewiston mayoral race has been anything but civil. Democrat Ben Chin says he has seen his politics, his ethnic heritage, and his religion used against him in ways that are setting new lows in Maine politics. First, the Maine Republican Party set up a Facebook site called The Real Ben Chin, which Chin says completely distorts his Christian views. And during the mayoral campaign, a Lewiston landlord put up signs with a cartoon of Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh with the warning, don't vote for Ho Chi Chin.
I don't know why people are choosing to, you know, resort to these really negative, baseless attacks. I don't know exactly why people are choosing to come at me this way. But I do consider it to be some kind of a badge of honor, because I think that if they really are resorting to tactics like this, I must be doing something right.
Chin says Representative Lockman appears to have been expanding on a post that the GOP had on their Facebook site that contained portions of statements he had made 6 years ago in which he had questioned the Christian church's support of policies that, quote, dehumanize our neighbors, deny women their rights, and squeeze the life out of the poor. Chin says the website strung all of his remarks together to portray them as a continuous statement. In his Facebook post, Lockman called on Lewiston voters in an upcoming runoff election not to vote for, quote, an anti-Christian bigot who hates America, hates Americans, and hates Christians. Chin says his beliefs have been shaped by his reading of the scriptures and as a lay Episcopal preacher and frequent sermonist at Trinity Church in Lewiston.
Most of what the gospel is about is making sure that we love God and love our neighbors and make sure that people have the basics of what they need. Unfortunately, a lot of religion in American life, particularly on the Christian side, has come at that from, you know, the other angle and has been twisted and used for all sorts of other causes. And, you know, particularly, I think, causes that attack women's reproductive rights.
Lockman, a conservative who has come under fire in the past for his comments about abortion, rape, and gays, is the third Republican lawmaker this year to become embroiled in a controversy over Facebook postings. In March, Senator Michael Ouellette of Presque Isle was forced to apologize on the floor of the House for reposting anti-Muslim messages. He subsequently voluntarily resigned his chairmanship of the State and Local Government Committee over the incident. Last month, Fairfield Representative John Picciotti also apologized after admitting that he had reposted anti-Muslim remarks on his Facebook page.
The whole thing is disgusting.
Democratic House Speaker Mark Eaves.
I believe not only should Representative Lockman apologize, he should resign. You know, this has no place in our public discourse. It's become commonplace in the Republican Party. It's hate speech. It needs to be called out, and the Republican leaders need to do something about it.
A spokesman for the House Republican office says GOP leaders do not comment on their members' Facebook postings. GOP State Chair Rick Bennett says he has not heard directly from anyone in Democratic leadership regarding the issue, but says it doesn't appear that Chin is challenging the accuracy of the information on the party's website. But Republican activist Lance Dutson says it's unfortunate that the party isn't taking a stronger stand against hateful statements.
I think that really hurts all the rest of us Republicans who reject that. And my personal feeling is I don't want people to associate me with that kind of hateful rhetoric. So I'm very comfortable speaking out about it. And I wish the leadership of the Maine Republican Party would feel the same way. So far, it's been silence. And I think the Republican Party does need to step up and show that we are a party of inclusion, that we're not a party of bigots.
Jeremy Kennedy, executive director of the Maine Democratic Party, accused the GOP of promoting a culture of xenophobia and racism among its members. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
In the interest of disclosure, Ben Chin's wife, Nicola Chin, serves on MPBN's Board of Trustees. In more state news, in a letter to legislative leaders, Governor Paul LePage is once again calling for immediate funding to hire 10 additional drug enforcement agents. But the state's two top legislators say the governor needs to provide a more comprehensive plan to go at the problem. Mel Leary has our story.
LePage says that in the last 2 weeks, there have been 9 deaths attributed to heroin overdose. And he says Maine drug enforcement agents have made 20 arrests. He says drug enforcement efforts need to be bolstered now.
Right now, I really think MDEAs are really, really needed. It's a crisis out there. 43 meth labs, that's pretty serious stuff.
In his letter to leadership, LePage says while he supports education, treatment, and prevention efforts, he'll reject any tactic that ties funding for additional agents to increased treatment spending. But the two top leaders of the legislature say beefing up enforcement is only part of the solution. Senate President Mike Thibodeau is a Republican from Winterport.
It's a broader issue than just, 10 new agents. I recognize that in order to get buy-in. And so we're going to talk about the things, figure out what we can agree on, and see if there's a framework that will work.
Thibodeau says complicating the situation is the fact that the governor is asking lawmakers to call themselves into session, rather than using his own powers to convene a special session. Under the state constitution, each party caucus in the House and Senate must formally endorse such a session by a 2/3 vote. He doubts that can happen unless lawmakers have a comprehensive plan that includes more than just additional drug agents. House Speaker Mark Eaves, a Democrat from North Berwick, agrees.
We can't just lock people up. We have to treat people that are asking for help, that have been caught up in this insidious addiction that has definitely become an epidemic in our state.
Eve says there are a number of bills already before the legislature, some that are carried over from earlier this year that address all aspects of the drug crisis. He believes at least some of those can form the basis for emergency legislation to start to address the problem on a broad front.
I've always said if we come to an agreement and a solution on this, I will call people back in. But I'm not going to call people back in if it's just going to be political theater, more of the same out of the governor.
Thibodeau says he and Eaves have already met to discuss how to approach the drug problem at the committee level and presenting legislation for consideration by the full legislature. He believes Mainers want state government to respond to the crisis.
If you've had been affected by this absolute terrible situation with this epidemic, you don't want to see the legislature wait. You want us to take action. We'll expedite what we can, I guess is the bottom line.
Eaves and Thibodeau say that if an agreement cannot be hammered out between lawmakers and the governor for a special session in the next few weeks, committees will prepare legislation for the first week of January when the legislature reconvenes and get it enacted as the top priority of the session. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
And finally today, a Bangor native has been awarded a $1 million prize to pursue her work in the field of archaeology. Sarah Parkak graduated from Bangor High School in 1997. She'll accept the TED Foundation's prize at a conference in February. The prize is given to an individual with a wish to change the world. Parkak's pioneering work using satellite images to uncover archaeological sites is now also being used to protect them from looters and vandals, particularly in the Middle East. She spoke with Keith Shortall from the campus of the University of Alabama at Birmingham, where she teaches anthropology.
In her TED Talk filmed in 2012, Dr. Sarah Parkak explained that her interest in finding things can be traced back to her childhood in Maine, where she searched for sand dollars on the beaches of Acadia National Park and discovered patterns that helped her to know where to dig.
And eventually, when I started studying Egyptology, I realized that seeing with my naked eyes alone wasn't enough, because all of a sudden, in Egypt, my beach had grown from a tiny beach in Maine to one 800 miles long next to the Nile. And my sand dollars had grown to the size of cities.
Cities that have been buried in the sand for thousands of years and nearly impossible to find, but for the satellite technology that she says allows her to see very subtle changes in the landscape.
You know, for example, thousands of miles away in my lab in Birmingham, my team and I can pinpoint the exact places, whether it's a house or a temple or a city street, that we want to go and excavate. And we can make plans and be really strategic about our season so that when we get to Egypt or wherever in the world we're working, we can start work almost immediately. We don't have to spend weeks and weeks trying to figure out where we're going to dig. So it's an incredibly time and cost efficient tool to use.
I saw in your TED Talk that was filmed, I think, in 2012, that you give an example of a lost city in Egypt near the Nile that you use this technique to find. Can you sort of describe how you did that?
Sure. So the city that we were looking for is a city called Ichtawi. It was ancient Egypt's capital city in the Middle Kingdom about 1800 BC, so almost 4,000 years ago. And the Middle Kingdom in Egypt is famous because it was Egypt's great period of Renaissance. So you have incredible innovations in art and architecture and language. And we knew that the city was located somewhere in the floodplain, but Egyptologists had never before found it. And we used this really cool type of NASA satellite data called Shuttle Radar Topography Mission data. And we looked for subtle changes in the landscape. And we found what we thought could be the old branch of the Nile River. The Nile's moved a lot in the last couple thousand years. And we also found some areas that had small raises that you really couldn't see on the ground. And we collaborated with colleagues from Cairo University and the National Authority for Remote Sensing and Space Science, it's Egypt's NASA, and did coring work to locate what appears to be the location of one part of this ancient city.
You will be getting this $1 million prize, the TED Prize, 2016 TED Prize. What are you going to do with the money?
Tuesday, February 16th, I'll be giving a talk at TED. I can't reveal what I'm going to do with it beforehand, but I can assure you I am very, very excited to share my wish with the world.
But you can say it comes at a time that's really important in the field of archaeology. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, post-Arab Spring, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of archaeological sites, not just in Egypt, but in Syria, Iraq and elsewhere, that have been looted by professional looters or targeted for intentional destruction by groups like ISIL. You know, of course, you have the horrific example of Palmyra. And what the satellite images allow us to do is track where the looting is going on and how intense it is. And hopefully in cases like Egypt, where the country's a little more stable, direct and partner with the government to send in enforcement units to stop looting. It's a very different story in Iraq and Syria. But, you know, we are truly at a tipping point in the cultural heritage of our world. And the looting is problematic everywhere in Peru and China, even in the U.S. And we have all the tools and all the technologies available to help monitor what's happening to our sites. And if we don't begin to strategize about ways we can stop it, many of these sites are going to be almost completely destroyed. So hopefully, using the TED Prize money, you know, we're going to raise the awareness of the world and get them to realize that it's not just our cultural heritage that's at stake, but it's our human identity.
Archaeologist Sarah Parkek, a native of Bangor, will receive the 2016 TED Prize and $1 million this February in Vancouver, British Columbia. For MPBN News, I'm Keith Shortall.
And now at 11 minutes before 6, let's check the weather. Overcast tonight with lows in the high 20s to 30s, and tomorrow cloudy with rain statewide and highs in the 40s. That's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Ed Morin, Patty White, and Andrew Catalina. I'm Nora Flaherty.